streaming programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. American forces still looking for Saddam Hussein in Iraq have three more loyalists now of the former regime in custody, reportedly including one of Saddam Hussein's top bodyguards. They were captured in raids near his hometown of Tikrit. A spokesman for the military says those new detainees are now being questioned. Meanwhile, Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage claims American forces did almost capture Hussein yesterday. He told CNN U.S. soldiers were only hours behind the deposed leader in three different raids yesterday. The U.S.-led war on terrorism has left Afghanistan struggling with a climate of fear, according to a report by a respected human rights organization. Correspondent Alistair Wanklin says it's accusing the U.S. of backing warlords who terrorize civilians.
Across Afghanistan, warlords have hijacked society and are committing human rights abuses that leave Afghans with a climate of fear. The report by monitoring organization Human Rights Watch also accuses the new Afghan police and army of kidnappings, rape, and extortion. The report accuses the United States of building up warlords who then compete with the authority of the national government led by President Hamid Karzai. Elections are due in Afghanistan next year, but this report says if the situation fails to improve, Afghanistan won't get much democracy in that poll. Alistair Wanklin reporting.
Yesterday's visit to the Urban League annual convention by the president was followed by a parade of the so far seven Democratic hopefuls. They all took advantage of using the receptive audience to pound away at the man they hoped to replace.
This morning, you got a lot of Bush, but not a lot of beef.
They set aside a whole election to make him the president. Lies.
We turned surpluses into deficits.
Greed.
Economy remains in the doldrums because of failed leadership.
Desire for empire.
He wants to make sure the barriers are up and the doors are closed.
Even the Costa Ricans have health insurance for all their people.
Senators John Edwards and Joe Lieberman, Congressmen Dick Gephardt and Dennis Kucinich, former Vermont Governor Howard Dean, Ambassador Carol Moseley Braun, and the Reverend Al Sharpton, all vying for the party's nod.
Hey, watch it!
Down in front! Hey, we made it!
Yeah.
4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies!
Wait!
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me, my friend here wants to know if the girl in the aisle will go out with
Al.
Her. Pass it down.
Al, we...
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss? There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What?
Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
The Bush administration is under fire again, this time for its so-called policy analysis market. The project will allow traders to bet on the possibility of terrorist events and is set to launch September 1st, while registration actually begins this Friday. The project from the Defense Department will be limited to the first 1,000 traders who will buy futures on events in the Middle East. For the second time this year now, a walkout by Democrats has prevented the Texas legislature from taking up the topic of congressional redistricting. Before Governor Rick Perry could call a second special session yesterday afternoon, 11 Democrats left for Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hey, Steve?
Yeah?
I'm taking Nicorette like you said, but right now, I really need a cigarette. And according to my schedule, I'm not supposed to take another piece for 2 hours, so what should I do? And don't tell me to tough it out, because it's not going to be pretty.
Take an extra piece?
Good idea.
When a really tough craving hits, just take an extra piece of Nicorette. As soon as you bite down, it delivers the medicine you need. Nicorette helps you quit one craving at a time. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
The rebel group that staged a bloody assault in Liberia's capital city has now declared a unilateral ceasefire. The head of the group called Liberians United for Reconciliation and Democracy says its forces will pull back to the city's port. The announcement was made today during peace talks in Ghana. That ceasefire could bring an end to bitter battles being waged in and around Monrovia in recent weeks. Liberian President Charles Taylor has refused to heed Washington's call to leave the country, saying he won't step down until peacekeepers arrive. Undersecretary of State John Bolton is in Seoul, South Korea, where he plans to meet with officials tomorrow to discuss the North Korean nuclear impasse. Bolton just wrapped up meetings with China's foreign minister, but he reported little progress on the North's willingness to dismantle its nuclear weapons programs. South Korean leaders have said negotiations between the North and China to restart those talks have slowed down. down. There has been speculation recently that the talks could happen as early as August or September. Bolton says it appears China has run out of diplomatic options to get North Korea back to the table. I'm Corey Morris. This is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Wow, what a brain! No, I'm not talking about the class valedictorian or the scarecrow after he reached Oz. This brain's inside your car. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com. Einstein's got nothing on your car's ECM, or electronic control module. Like human brains, ECMs gather data from the environment and make adjustments to optimize performance. For example, this onboard computer adapts fuel delivery, seat positions, cabin temperature, braking, and emissions. It also alerts you to potential problems and notifies you for service. Like all brains, your ECM's sensitive to environmental abuse. So follow the scarecrow's lead. Take your ECM for scheduled service to the Oz, service center of your choice. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to the show. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom Hartman, speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from New Mexico to Alabama, broadcasting from the depth of outer space on the Sirius satellite, covering North and Central America from Alaska to the equator, and streaming audio on the Internet with listeners from Europe to Asia. This is the Tom Hartman radio program. And, maybe the satellites are serious. I don't know how serious I am. Come to think of it, I don't even know how serious people take me, but that's okay. Welcome to the program. And if you want to take part, it's kind of easy. All you got to do is dial in 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And incidentally, that's Sirius Channel 145 for all you folks that are getting ready to buy maybe a Ford or a Chrysler, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Mazda. Wow, the list goes on. Land Rover, Dodge, Jeep, Volkswagen, Audi, Nissan, Infiniti, and trucks from Freightline and Freightliner, and Sterling. Jaguar even. Okay, how many folks can afford a Jaguar out there? You're doing okay if you can, which nothing wrong with that now, is there? Of course, you don't deserve the tax breaks you're getting, but that's all right. We won't hold that against you too much. Well, let me see what we got going on. As last time I talked to you folks on the radio, I was explaining just how picture perfect and pure as the driven snow I am, because when I talk, there's basically one of three things that can be true. Either A, I'm telling the truth and I'm correct, in which case it just kind of, bolsters my opinion of myself as being so good. B, I could be mistaken and maybe I, didn't read the whole book or something, and wanted to go off on some It was I was in a Latin club, and I've told you about my friend Joe Repub. He was joined the Latin club with me, and I guess, you join a Latin club when you know a lot about Latin. Well, they were saying something about e pluribus canumen or femini, feminarum, feminis, or whatever. And I just didn't understand what they were talking about. And I finally raised my hand in the club. I said, "What are you guys doing?" And they go, "Well, that's Latin, Rama." And I said, "That's not any Latin I ever heard." And And he said, well, Rama, you know, that was like Latin from the second half of the first year of Latin. And I said, look, guys, you know, I took the first half year of the first year of Latin twice, all right? But I never got beyond that, so it's not my fault. I don't know this stuff, right? Boy, did I get some blank, stony stares over that one. So I guess I should have read the whole darn book, huh? I should have at least tried to know what I was talking about before I joined the Latin club. So there's the first two possibilities. Either A, I'm just really correct and I'm telling the truth and that just proves how perfect I am. B, I'm just mistaken and it's not my fault I didn't pay attention. Maybe I slept through, I don't know, geometry or whatever. You know, who knows? I didn't read the whole thing. And the other option is, of course, that I'm just bald-faced lying. You know, that could be now, you know. My wife, Grace, she looked at me the other day and said, Ronnie, you're a bald-faced liar. And it was because I told her I'd taken the trash out, and it was pretty obvious I hadn't taken the trash out because the rats were busy taking it out one piece at a time. I don't know. But, okay, so I'm pure as the driven snow. All right. We've got that under control here, you know. There's another thing, though. I got to kick myself in the butt here. I can be pretty stupid, too. I have an SUV now. I live out in rural America, okay? I have an excuse to own an SUV. We get lots of ice, and we get snow, and we get mud. We have a mud season in Vermont that almost sometimes it puts the Eastern Front in World War II to shame. I mean, it's, you know, you get out there on these roads sometimes in Vermont on mud season, and yeah, we do have dirt roads for all you shitty folks out there that, you know, not dirty roads, dirt roads. And so you kind of need something to get around probably about 6-7 months out of the year that's, you know, going to be a little higher than 6 inches off the ground. A nice new Corvette would not be a good idea. So anyway, my SUV, the water pump went out of my SUV. So I said, I know. I dropped out my transmission, tore it apart. So now my transmission's sitting there all torn apart. I have no idea how to put my transmission back together. And no, I have not touched the water pump. And I'm afraid to tell my wife, too. She thinks I'm an idiot to start with, so, you know. But here I am, I was sitting out back, and even this morning I was basically sitting on the transmission casing, kind of crying to myself, because here's all these parts just spread all over the garage floor. I think the dogs were running off with a couple. I don't know where they all are. In the meantime, the water pump, which is the thing that first got me looking at the car, which is, you know, that's still broken. Now I don't have a transmission either. And, man, I just don't know. It's just kind of... And I just sat there and kind of looked around at that, and I said, you know, Rama, you just worked yourself into a position like... like President Bush has, you know. I mean, here we have this Bush administration. They invaded Iraq, who had nothing to do with the attacks of September 11th, 2001. And in the meantime, you know, the Bush administration won't release any information about Saudi Arabia from the congressional report that did contain information that Saudi Arabia, of course, supplied 15 of the 19 hijackers on that fateful September 11th day. Apparently lots of money, the closest anybody can come to. And, where are those weapons? Anyway, there he is. I mean, here we have it. Anybody remember Afghanistan? Al-Qaeda? Does that ring a bell in anybody's mind? Afghanistan or Al-Qaeda? Where the heck did they all go to? I have no idea. Everything's Iraq and Saddam Hussein. I mean, they'd still talk about Uday and Qusay or whatever the heck their names are, but we've shown photos of them to death. We've photoed them to death, I think, in a horrible way. But, you know, this just reminds me of me sitting there out next to my SUV that originally only had a broken water pump that I could have fixed the water pump. I could have sat there and bought a new water pump, or I could have taken it to the garage and had a mechanic replace the water pump. But, you know, I just got fidgety. I said, I know what. While I'm at it, I've always thought that the transmission needed a little putzing with. So, you know, I dropped the whole transmission, tore it apart. Now I can't get it back together. Man. So here we are in Iraq. We tore it all apart. We cannot put it back together, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. It just ain't going to work like that. And in the meantime, George Bush's water pump there, Al-Qaeda. Does the name Osama bin Laden ring a bell? You know, if it doesn't, let's pronounce it differently. Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden. Any of that ring a bell with anybody? Somewhere, I remember, somewhere in the not-too-distant past was somebody who actually attacked us, who planned the attacks, who put together the financing, who helped get the tactics together. And I don't remember his name being Saddam Osama or Osama bin Hussein. I remember it as being Osama bin Laden. Now, I'm going to have to go back on the Internet. I'm going to have to check all this stuff out. And But I'm sure that's a name. And I also remember that he was given harbor, safe harbor, in this country called Afghanistan. I don't think that Osama bin Laden was being given safe harbor in Iraq. I mean, this is just getting to be incredible. I mean, we have got to stop taking apart the transmissions when we need to be replacing water pumps. So this is what it breaks down to. We are just heading off on these wild goose chases. And, you know, I mean, we can debate whether or not going out. Well, look, Saddam Hussein, I would not describe to you what kind of individual I think he is, because basically they'd have to shut me off the air, because I would probably, I'm sure they had some rational Nigerian reason for all of this. Oh, well. Well, the upshot is that the lady was smart enough not to send the $1,500 back to the nice Mr. Nigerian or Ms. Nigerian, whoever it was, and did notify the police. She actually took the check and deposited and waited for it to clear before she did anything. So she didn't get ripped off or anything, which was kind of, I thought this was like one of the cuter Internet stories I've heard. But, you know, just the ways that people go around trying to get your money over the Internet is unreal. And anyway, the lady didn't end up with she still got the canoe. She doesn't have $1,500, and she's not out $1,500. That was kind of a good story. All right, we're going to take a break for some important commercial information. And we'll be right back after this. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom Hartman.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of progressive talk radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
He's 5 foot.
All right, and welcome back, everybody. And you're with the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well. Rama Schneider sitting in for Mr. Hartman, who is absent with official leave. And I want to emphasize the with part. And, you know, I debated letting that bumper music play a little bit longer, but the the simple issue is there's no better way for a host to give away the fact they don't have anything to do at the moment than if they let the bumper music play. That means they just would rather be a disc jockey at the moment because they're looking at an empty folder. Hey, speaking of Nigeria, though, you know what I keep getting? And I started throwing them away, deleting them. Because I started saving them for a while, and I got up to like 50 in a week. But these emails from Nigeria that want my bank account number, you know, because they want to give me like $10 million for letting them transfer $50 or $60 million through my bank account. And I was just curious how many different ones I could get. Actually, there's like 20 or 30 different versions of it. And with different amounts, and I feel kind of slighted when somebody's only trying to scam me out of four, you know, when they're trying to scam me with a $20 or $30 million scam as opposed to rip off my bank account with $100 million scam. I mean, if I'm going to get ripped off, and this is the thing, I don't send any of my bank account numbers to people unless they're offering me more than $20 million to transfer more than $100 million through my bank. Anything up above that, they get my bank account number. They get my credit card numbers. No problem. You know, what the heck? Speaking of which, I have problems with my bank. I keep depositing money. It keeps disappearing. I just don't understand it. But do you realize that people actually do answer those emails from Nigeria just asking for your bank account number? And they actually do get ripped off that way. That was kind of incredible news. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 if you want to be on the program. I'm kind of curious, anybody out there, if you live anywhere near those western wildfires going on, if anybody's got any updates on that. I was watching CNN this morning, and, you know, they, yes, very shortly, I can't handle much of CNN. I turn it on to see what kind of pop news is happening at the time. So, you know, they have the crawler at the bottom there, because if you get bored with what they're talking about, they have it divided up into three different sections, and one of them is a crawler. And I knew this, by the way, what I'm going to say. I knew it was going to come out. Tight neckties could increase chance of glaucoma in men. That's right. Now, all of you guys that are sitting there at work listening to the radio program while you're supposed to be doing a function, because, boy, work has those nice high-speed internet accesses. Tight neckties. That's right. I can see right now a bunch of fingers going up behind there, loosen that knot up. Tight neckties could increase the chance of glaucoma in men. Think about the impact that could have on what you see in offices across the country if that becomes a more definitive statement, such as studies have shown a very high propensity of glaucoma in men who wear tight neckties. Look around you. If you're in an office, look around you. How many men are not wearing ties? You know, it's amazing just how the tie is just, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Everybody wears it. And so here we have just your typical business attire, which is more than likely going to give you glaucoma. When are they going to find out that brassieres, you know, give women, I don't know, shoulder problems or something? Although I most women I know, they appreciate bras under certain circumstances. I have never met a man that appreciates a necktie in my life. They wear them because they have to. And basically, I refuse to get gainful employment for the simple fact I absolutely refuse anymore to wear a necktie. Not that I was worried about the glaucoma. That's a new one on me. I just didn't like tying a piece of rope around my neck and knotting it tightly. That always made me uncomfortable. All right, another break coming up, and then we'll be right back. We're Amos Schneider for Tom Hartman. Tom Hartman Show.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. After 6 weeks on the picket line, striking employees of Chicago's Congress Hotel say they're struggling on behalf of all the city's hotel workers. Members of Hotel Employees and Restaurant Employees Local 1 walked out June 15th after Congress managers refused to accept a citywide pattern bargaining agreement, instead demanding deep cuts from workers. Housekeeper Ventura Mota has worked at the hotel for 8 years.
They cut my wages down 7%. They cut my pension, my insurance too, but I have 2 children. My children, they don't have insurance.
Both the union and Chicago's hotel operators are keeping a close eye on the strike, according to 25-year Congress hotel veteran Henry Miller.
If we lose this battle, every other hotel going to come back within 3 years and say, well, the Congress Hotel beat the union out. We can do the same thing. We're going to cut wages. We're going to take the health benefit. We can't lose it.
Baltimore's police and firefighters are set to win greater power at the bargaining table. The Baltimore City Council Council will soon decide on whether to grant unions of emergency workers the right to binding arbitration whenever contract talks with the city reach an impasse. All decisions of the arbitrator would be final. While some city officials worry the plan might cost too much, Baltimore voters like the idea. A referendum on the subject last November showed 83% of city residents approve of the measure.
Zimbabwe officially ran out of cash this weekend when government workers who had been promised a pay raise to start on this payday went to draw their month-end salaries from banks and were refused en masse. The frustrated workers took things out on the banks, bringing riot police out in several cities to keep serious damage from happening. Inflation in Zimbabwe is at a staggering 347% and climbing.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it, baby. That's me, Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom Hartman, speaking to you on IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from New Mexico to Alabama, broadcasting, yeah, doing something like that from the depth of outer space on a Sirius satellite covering North and Central America from Alaska to the Equator. And making up my own language as I go, apparently. Also streaming audio on the Internet with listeners from Europe to Asia. This is the Tom Hartman radio program. On the Internet, you can go to one of two places, ieamericaradio.com, and they have a link there to listen live is a good one, or else radiopower.org. Now, I know, folks, if you're listening to me on the Internet, you're going, duh, Rama. Well, hey, there are people listening on the radio, too. All right. If you want to get involved in the chat room, and I'd love to join you there, but I can't, you go to TomHartmanShow.com. Let me spell Tom Hartman for you. TomHartmanShow.com, and you can click on the link, take you over to the chat room. That's always a lot of fun and excitement. Always have a lot of very, very smart people in there. And yeah, well, sometimes I worry, too, judging by the posts that I see from time to time. There are potheads, drunks, and various miscreants, and even sometimes some stalwart defender of the wacko right will stop in, too, and try some humorous some humorous defenses. Hey, Zimbabwe, did you hear that in the news at the bottom of half of the hour there? Zimbabwe ran out of cash, can't pay the people. You know, why don't they do what the good fiscal conservatives in Washington, D.C. do? Just borrow more. Just print out some more so you can borrow more. You know, it's easy. That's what I do. You know, I've discovered nowadays modern-day technology is pretty cool. You need some extra cash, stick a few bills on your scanner, zip, zip, print them out on some nice paper. There you go. You got it. I don't know. This whole idea of earning money is way, way overblown, folks. I mean, there are so many. If you're from Nigeria, you can get your money over email by asking for people's bank accounts. if you're a politician in Washington, D.C., you can get all the money you want just by borrowing. I mean, who cares? You're going to die in 20, 30 years anyway. You know, let your poor slob grandkids and great-grandkids handle this one. No issue. And if you're me, you know, you just avoid gainful employment anyway. You don't care how poor you are. And, you know, no. In case the Secret Service is listening, no, I do not really print up my own money. You can't see my fingers crossed on radio, can you? Okay, good. So, you know, Zimbabweans. What is it? Zimbabweans? Would that be it? I think so. Anyway, what they need to do is just, you know, practice good old United States style federal democracy there and just run off a new batch of cash. Oh, no problem. Pay the people. Who cares? You know, no problem. That's what I would do. You know, did you, on the news a while ago, of course, I'm sure most people are aware of the elder gentleman who drove through the California street market and killed a bunch of people, wounded a bunch, and everybody was raising heck about older people. Some of the things we don't really pay attention to on driving, but a woman who didn't want the rain to ruin the sofa in the back of her truck caused 24 vehicles to wreck behind her on Interstate 20 as she swerved to get under an overpass. That was down in Atlanta, Georgia. This is from a while ago. Thankfully, only 11 people suffered minor injuries. I mean, this sounds like something I would do. And you know, it was a mess, said Sergeant Pat White of the DeKalb County Police. He said the woman was driving her brown Ford. And maybe that had something to do with it. She was driving her brown Ford F-150 pickup truck. Actually, no, Fords make good trucks. That wasn't the truck's fault. Westbound on I-20, just east of Atlanta, and it began to rain. She changed lanes so rapidly, she cut off cars as she made her way to the shoulder of the road to get under the overpass. And, she was never hit. She did at least stay at the scene. She was charged with improper lane change. And as far as I can tell, the sofa did not get wet. So, you know, we have to also get idiots off the road, you know, idiots. That's right. Yeah, where was it? This would have been like 78 or 79. I was in the Army station down in Key West, Florida. And, I believe it was a 1973 Ford Mustang Grande. And these were really cool cars, you know, and anybody that's into engines or stuff, it had a nice size 302 V8 in it. And, I mean, that thing would get up and go pretty good. And as a young gentleman at this point, I was around 20 or so, you know, I enjoyed an engine that would get up and go really good. As a matter of fact, I enjoyed it so much, I think I paid the Florida state budget for a year or two. But one day I'm pulling off a post and getting ready to head up the highway. What's that route one that runs up the Keys? Is that it? I think it's been so many years since I've been down there. But, The car kind of stutters and stops, and I'm going, gee, it feels like this car didn't get any gas. So I'm on the side of the highway. I had my tools in the back of the car, and I pop open the trunk. And no, this isn't me trying to make a point. This is a real story here. I pop open the trunk, get out my tools, and I look. I go, well, it felt like it wasn't getting gas, so I start with the carburetor, four-barrel carburetor. On the side of the highway, I tear my four-barrel carburetor all the way down. And I mean, literally, I had it down to every gasket was out, the little pins in the jets, I had taken those out. I had unscrewed those brass jets there in the carburetor. Everything, the float, everything came out, put it all back together. Car still wasn't getting any gas. I get out there, scratch my head for a couple minutes, and then... No kidding. I'd look. And seriously, now, after spending 2 hours tearing apart a four-barrel carburetor, getting it all back together again, I was out of gas. So, you know, okay. All right. We all do very foolish things. So how often do we have to say, stop? Is there gas in the car? Stop. Is there intelligent life in Washington, D.C.? stop. Do these people have any concept of what they're doing? I mean, it's, yeah, is there any gas in one? No, yes, there's a lot of hot air in Washington, D.C. Let me give you an example I ran across from the Washington Post. This is an article entitled The Amazing Disappearing Tax Revenue, and this one's from Saturday, July 26th. The exploding federal budget deficit has triggered fierce recriminations among politicians over who is to blame. Well, that's easy. You and I know they're all to blame, right? Uh-huh. But in Washington's less partisan budget circles, the White House has projected $455 billion deficit for 2003 has underscored a growing mystery, folks. Where has all the tax revenue gone? Hey, sounds like a Peter, Paul, and Mary song, doesn't it? Where has all the revenues gone? No one knows, said Douglas Holtz-Eakin, the director of the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. Not answering the question is just admitting our ignorance. The fact is, CBO, the White House, Treasury, don't know what's happening right now other than we're getting less revenue, said Dan L. Crippen, a recently retired Congressional Budget Office director. It's kind of a sad state of affairs. All right, where has all the revenue gone? All right, and then it talks about the missing revenue. All right, that's bad enough. I mean, they're sitting there, you know, okay, the fact that we handed out all these fat old tax breaks to all these rich folk and the fact that we're spending all sorts of money on debt couldn't have anything to do with us losing the revenues or the fact that the economy's tanking out because of poor fiscal policy out of Washington, D.C. That couldn't have anything. No. But you get to the end, and this is the part I really love. Quote, federal budget forecasts are only good until lunch tomorrow, said Stan E. Collender, a federal budget expert at Fleischman Hillard Incorporated. Quote, anything after that is just a guess. So here's this guy, federal budget expert. Federal budget forecasts are only good until lunch tomorrow. Okay, the next paragraph. The White House economist made no apologies for missing revenue targets, nor did other independent economists. After all, they noted the administration's projections have been no more wrong than the forecast of CBO or private sector economists. Now, I want you to think about what I just read there. The White House economist made no apologies for missing revenue targets, nor did other independent economists. After all, they noted the administration's projections have been no more wrong than the forecast of CBO or other private sector economists. Why is our economy in a mess? Why did Rama tear apart a four-barrel carburetor instead of putting gas in the car? Could there be a common thread here? Spelled S-T-U-P-I-D-I-T-Y. Finally, though, look, I give them high marks. They admitted they have no idea what they're talking about. They're just making all this stuff up, so... So do you feel any better about all of that? So I don't know. Maybe Lillian from Alabama does. Hello, Lillian. Come on and sit down and tell us what's on your mind.
Well, I've been having a brainstorm. You know, actions speak louder than words.
Yes, ma'am.
So we got to take up where the media left off at.
And
the media refused to tell the truth. So we must, you telling the truth? I like to.
Okay, well, do you have a truth to tell us, Lillian?
Well, the whole they need the, whatever it takes. They need to be impeached, thrown out, whatever it takes. You know, we can't keep on putting up with the corruption. We got to form a think tank, plan, act effectively, destroy all the corruption.
Yeah.
I want to take my poem and put it on T-shirts, flyers. Advertise, public, you know, just lay
Lillian,
it out there for people to really know the setup. You're set up by Saddam Hussein was given the weapons of mass destruction by ex-president Reagan. and Bush.
Yep.
And second, they stole the presidency. The third, I blame them on the 3,000 people being killed at the World Trade Center. And then the invasion, colonization, illegal.
Okay.
Everything is, they got license to steal, kill, destroy. And we, and it's,
now that they do. That they do. And
it's either us or them.
Well, you know what, Lillian, I got to tell you the truth. Sometimes I feel like it's all one big conspiracy, like you're putting forth here, and I don't think you're entirely wrong. I don't. I agree with you to a good deal. But then you read things like I was just reading, where the people admit they have no idea what they're doing. They're just sitting. I mean, we have a bunch of economists, Lillian, who are just putting numbers down on paper and saying, look, I went to 4 years of university education for this, so my numbers must be good. And then they turn around and they say, well, you know, they're good till lunch tomorrow. So, you know, we got to approach this from two points of view.
The Patriot Act was written long before the Trade Center attack.
Yeah,
they could
have
stopped the Pentagon from being attacked. The planes was in the air. They didn't stop it. Why?
It's a good question, Lillian.
These questions are they're in everybody's. You know, we are in denial. Even WNSI is too soft. I believe we need Mike Malloy on the air in the daytime. Because he educated the truth seekers. We want.
Okay,
truth.
Lillian, I appreciate your phone call. You just kicked in the Rama the phone Nazi routine here because that's talk about Mike Malloy on Mike Malloy's time, not on my time. Talk about yourself. I don't. You know, people that want to call up and tell me what some other radio jock is saying, that's fine, and I'm glad you're listening, and I'm glad you're paying attention. I am much more concerned, and my own personal opinion is you folks should be much more concerned, too, in hearing what you think, what you found, what you believe, you know. I had a local radio talk show up here in Vermont for a while. It was great. Doing local talk is extremely fun because there you get to do the little nitty-gritties, you know, like who's putting potted plants on the windows type thing. And it actually is, but I used to use the phrase sharing facts, opinions, and discussion of all the issues that matter and many, many that don't. And the idea being that if you have facts without an opinion to go with those facts, that's worthless. If you have an opinion without some facts to back up the opinion, that's not much better. So the idea being you put your facts and you put your opinions together and have a discussion about it. And even if it's wrong or partially wrong, this is all the process of us learning and coming up with some sort of a idea of how we lead our lives from day to day. And, you know, I think Lillian's got a point. There, to a certain degree, some of this, what's going on, is deliberate. To another degree, a lot of it is done out of sheer stupidity. And I'll just use the current situation in Afghanistan and Iraq are just examples of situations that have arisen not out of deliberate attempts. These are things that have arisen out of sheer stupidity, poor planning, horrible leadership. I was reading a news article this morning, I believe, it was this morning, a letter that a second lieutenant in Iraq had written back to his parents, and they sent it to a paper to publish, and essentially, I wish I had made a copy of it, because I hadn't planned on discussing it, but it was rather poignant in that, you know, he was saying they had, they were having a hard time getting resupplied rations. He was stationed somewhere up north of Baghdad. So, what's going on, I don't think they could have planned it to come out as bad as it is right now in Iraq. I think it's just out of sheer stupidity. They didn't stop and think about possibilities, you know, might have helped. Okay, Rama Schneider for Tom Hartman. Tom Hartman Show, we'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights.
to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel 6. Dog owners will be happy to know whether your best friend is a purebred show dog or the lovably mixed-up product of a neighborhood indiscretion. They're equally welcome at Motel 6. No judgments here. So put the old Cocker Chow Labrador mix in the back seat and hit the road. But first call 1-800-4-MOTEL-6 or visit motel6.com. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. And a core hotel.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Dude,
and
there's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
The Tom Hartman Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election. Our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brain Shrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters...
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
What a wonderful, wonderful world this would be. What a wonderful, 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 wonderful
yes,
world.
It's a wonderful world. I don't know much about history.
Don't know much about history.
No. Gee, did I write that song? I don't know. Just clicked in my brain. Hey, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5953. 7. And, you know, we were going over that bit about the amazing disappearing tax revenue where we find out at the end of the story that, you know, these federal budget forecasts aren't any good. I mean, even the economists admit it. I mean, that's a job I need, by the way. I mean, I'll bet, if these guys are getting paid $200,000 a year, for $100,000 a year, I'll sit down and make up numbers, okay? There's no issue with that. I will sit down for $100,000 a year, and I'll just make up numbers and give them some of the best budget forecasts they've ever gotten. But let me carry this on now, because we already know. Okay, we know these people, first of all, don't worry about reality, right? Look at these budget forecasts, good to lunch tomorrow. Nobody really knows what's going on. They don't know what's happened to all the revenues that are supposed to be going down to, pay for things like our government, you know, including the War Department. Here's a Reuters article from Sunday, July 27th, titled, Wolfowitz Says U.S. Must Act Even on Murky Data. That's right. You heard that right. U.S. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz on Sunday defended the invasion of Iraq as an example of how the United States had to be prepared to act on, quote, murky intelligence, end quote, in its war on terrorism. In other words, look, they're going to set tax policy based on numbers that are only good till lunch tomorrow. If they're even good that far, nobody knows what's going on. I mean, why not invade other countries on murky intelligence? It only makes sense to me. Let's stop and tear apart that four-barrel carburetor when we're running out of gas on the side of the highway. You know, if it makes sense to me, I'll tell you guys, you're in trouble. So I guess I just don't know any other way to put it. I guess we just spent an hour going full circle. I kind of started off towards the top of the hour. I was talking about how my SUV's water pump had gone out, and on the way to fix the water pump, I went out and tore the transmission out and tore the transmission all apart, and it's now spread all over the barn floor, for gosh sakes. I feel so stupid. Don't you think these people in Washington should feel pretty dumb? I mean, they have no idea what they're doing. Well, we'll be back after the top of the hour. Rahm Schneider in for Tom Hartman.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me? You hate me?
Why not get something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. The Defense Department and the Bush administration as a whole are coming under fire today for introducing a new program to allow traders to bet on the likelihood of future terrorist events. North Dakota Democratic Senator Byron Dorgan said the market idea was wasteful and repugnant.
I think this is unbelievably stupid. It's not only, that is a gentle thing to say about a program that is so devoid of value. It combines the worst of all of our instincts, in my judgment. It is a tragic waste of taxpayers' money. It will be offensive to almost everyone.
The policy analysis market was set up by the Defense Department's Defense Advanced Research Project Agency. Traders will buy futures based on the possibility of specific terrorist events. Examples on the agency's website include the assassination of Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat or a missile attack by North Korea. Registration for the site begins Friday and will be limited to the first 1,000 traders. Actual trading will begin September 1st, 2003, just in time for the second anniversary of the September 11th attacks. And it appears to be a coincidence today. The Department of Homeland Security said the Al-Qaeda network may be planning another round of airline hijackings or suicide bombings by the end of the summer 2003. A spokesman for the department said the intelligence community has received information. The Al-Qaeda group is actively trying to use commercial aviation systems here as well as abroad in order to, quote, further their cause. The warning said Osama bin Laden's terrorist network could try to launch at least one attack sometime within the next few months. Several hundred unemployed Iraqis have marched through Baghdad today demanding jobs and unemployment benefits. Today's protest was organized by a group calling itself the Unemployed Union of Iraq. The group's spokesman said many peoples can't do something as simple as support their own families.
We ask for $100 as a minimum wage for each individual unemployed in Iraq.
Many Iraqis employed by the state ended up losing their jobs, of course, following the breakdown of Saddam Hussein's government.
Hey, watch it!
Down in front! Hey, we made it! Yeah. 4 hours of back-to-back Godzilla movies!
Wait!
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me, my friend here wants to know if the girl in the aisle will go out with him. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss? There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Oh, yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What?
Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
The White House is refusing a request from the government of Saudi Arabia to declassify sections of a congressional report on the September 11th attacks. White House spokesman Scott McClellan today said doing so would compromise investigations and national security interests. He said the 28 pages were left out of the recently released public version of that report. The classified section allegedly deals with how a government or governments may have financed the attacks. The Saudis are concerned the report could draw links between individuals in the Saudi government and some of the hijackers who staged the attacks. They'd like the report to be declassified in order to respond to the information.
The Long Ride Home by Super 8 Motels.
Somewhere between 14 hours in a minivan, between the world's largest pothole and the hubcap that got away, between five, look at the horses, and one amazing sunset. Somewhere between where you are and where you're going, there's a Super 8. See you along the way.
All Super 8 motels are individually owned and operated.
The war over a Ten Commandments monument is still brewing in the capital of Alabama, Montgomery, as some organizations plan both demonstrations supporting and opposing the figure's location in the rotunda of the state judicial building. That story now from reporter Sharcy Jones.
Reverend Patrick Mahoney, who favors the display, made a plea to all supporters to defend Chief Justice Roy Moore and his decision to place the monument in plain view of all who enter the state judicial building.
Peacefully kneel to prevent the removal of these Ten Commandments from this building.
Meanwhile, Larry Darby of the American Atheists of Alabama says Moore should adhere to previous rulings to honor the Constitution and remove the monument.
He can go ahead with his petition for writ of certiorari to the Supreme Court, but for now, let's go ahead and obey the law and get the monument out.
Moore is now requesting that the U.S. Supreme Court hear the case. Sharcy Jones reporting.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Mirror, mirror, on my car? Tell me where the others are. Okay, I'm no poet, but I do know a thing or two about adjusting your car's mirrors. And when we come back, I'll reflect.
asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and Christian Fittipaldi. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
At home, mirrors reveal who's fairest of them all. But in cars, their function's no fairy tale. They're critical to safety. To properly align driver's side mirrors, press your left cheek against the window and adjust the mirror till you barely see the car's left side. For passenger side, lean toward the center and adjust the mirror until the right side's barely visible. Like Alice through the looking glass, you'll see things you never saw before, like where the other cars are. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Well, no, this isn't Tom. We're going to be straight and above board with everybody. I may sound like Tom, I may look like Tom, I may even act like Tom, but I'm not Tom. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Mr. Hartman, who is off taking care of other business or personal pursuits or whatever. You know, I don't ask, he doesn't tell. We have a don't ask, don't tell policy around here. And anyway, we're speaking to you on IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from New Mexico to Alabama, broadcasting from the depths of outer space and the Sirius satellite covering North and Central America from Alaska to the equator, and streaming audio on the internet with listeners from Europe to Asia. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. And if you're listening to us on the Sirius satellite network, you're, of course, listening on channel 145. And if you're about just to log off your computer and climb out into your Sirius satellite receiver-equipped vehicle, which could be like a Ford, Chrysler, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Mazda, Land Rover, Dodge, Jeep, Mini, Volkswagen, Audi, Nissan, Infiniti, and trucks from Freightliner and Sterling, and somebody penciled in Jaguar there. So, you know, and by the way, you can go buy, as far as I know, you can buy these units too. Just throw them in your old junker like I would have to do. Or, you know, if you're on the internet listening, you're either listening to us through radiopower.org or you went to IE America Radio. com and clicked on their listen live. And I think even for the chat room, tomhartman.com, and click on Tom Hartman Show, click on the chat room, or you can go to tomhartmanshow.com and just click on the chat room. And hey, you are there ready to communicate. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And if you want to join in today's conversation, we're covering the rest of the news. That's right. There's lots of news that doesn't get covered. I mean, you want to hear about Kobe Bryant, turn off. Yeah, just don't listen to me, because I'm not going to talk about basketball players getting in trouble. And I'm not going to debate whether or not they did or didn't rape some woman who is or isn't a little bit squirrely on the head. And speaking of which, I get awful, awful ticked off. That really, I mean, talk about trying to screw the victim. Man, let's go. Oh, yeah, hey, of course she claimed that he raped her. Look at her. She's a psycho. Man, give it a break. That alone ought to make a jury convict him just for that kind of comments being made. Now, I know he didn't make it, but, man, I hate hearing that sort of thing. You know, guess what? Somebody that's maybe taking a few drugs to help them keep on an even keel, they can still be raped. Did you know that? No? Well, there you go. Did you know this? I'm looking at the U.S. Constitution. How many of you folks ever read this thing? I hope a lot of you do. I don't know why, because we don't go by it anymore, but it does make for some fun reading. Article 8 in the United States Constitution. Rather than head over to Article 8, we have on the phone with us right now and I hope I'm going to say his last name correctly, Dr. Daniel Lashoff. He's a senior scientist at the Climate Center with the Natural Resources Defense Council, specializing in global warming, energy policy, and environmental science. And that's what we're going to talk a bit about is global warming or climate change, and maybe get into some energy policy and see how it relates to environmental science and all of that. And hello, Dr. Lashoff.
Hello, Rama. How are you?
I'm doing well. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Now, anytime when I'm a radio host, guests actually have their you have your option of how you want me to address you. It can be Dr. Lashoff, Daniel, Your Honor, Your Highness, Supreme Being. You take your pick.
Well, I would go for Your Highness, but maybe just Dan will do for today.
Okay. Well, all right, Your Highness. We'll be informal and call you Dan. And thank you for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
Now, I could just kind of read verbatim stuff that gets sent to us, and it's all a very nice long list of things, but that rarely actually gives people a chance to introduce themselves to the listeners in a way that, for instance, Dr. Lashoff might want the listeners to know him. So I'll give you that opportunity to introduce yourself to everybody listening.
Sure. Well, I'm the science director of the Climate Center at NRDC, the Natural Resources Defense Council. And NRDC is a national environmental research and advocacy organization. I've been working to put in place sensible standards to address the global warming problem for over a decade now. Started my career as a researcher in global warming science and atmospheric and environmental science and at the Environmental Protection Agency. And I've been doing this work for a while, and this is a very important moment to be talking about it, because this week the U.S. Senate will be voting for the first time on a national emission limit on the pollution that causes global warming, and that's what I hope we'll get a chance to talk about this afternoon.
Yeah, and I want to, and I also want to differentiate, though, there's a couple of things. One is what you were just talking about, where they're actually going to vote on actual limitations, and then there's another here that I also want to kind of touch on real quick. But the Bush administration is offering, what, a 10-year study plan or something?
Right. Well, the Bush administration last week, with great fanfare, released a research initiative about global warming. And there's nothing particularly remarkable about the initiative. It really isn't an initiative at all. It's just a continuation of an ongoing research program into environmental science and global climate change and climate science generally. Now, I think we should absolutely continue to do that research and learn as much as we can about global warming. The problem with the Bush administration approach is that that's all they want to do, and they want to focus attention on their research efforts because they simply don't have any meaningful program to reduce the pollution that causes global warming. So that's a pretty stark contrast between the administration's approach, which is study only, and the approach that a bipartisan group of senators is offering as an amendment to the energy bill that's before the Senate right now, which is a so-called McCain-Lieberman global warming amendment that would actually
right.
establish controls on the pollution that causes global warming.
Yeah, I even saw an ad from one of the advocacy groups on cable network this morning. They're pushing support for the McCain-Lieberman bill. And I do want to get, but first I want to cover a few very general areas here, because when we talk about global warming, it seems to me that we're talking about a couple of things. One is global warming and things actually warming up on a global scale. And we're also talking about climate change, where there could be some paradoxical happenings. You know, when things warm up, it might actually end up with greater snow cover here, or it might cool down some other area. So can you address for us a common sense definition for what we're talking about if we say global warming and what we're talking about if we say climate change?
Sure, and those terms have been used quite interchangeably. Well, basically what is at stake with global warming is pollution from cars, power plants, and other sources is putting a thickening blanket of heat-trapping gases into the atmosphere, particularly carbon dioxide. And this carbon pollution is building up, trapping more and more heat in the Earth's atmosphere, preventing it from escaping to space. And that causes the Earth as a whole, on average, to get warmer over time. And in fact, it is getting warmer. There's a lot of data has been reviewed by the National Academy of Sciences and other prominent experts. It proves conclusively the Earth is, in fact, warming up, and that most of the warming we've seen over the last couple of decades is due to this pollution. Now, as the Earth as a whole gets warmer, the climate around the Earth reacts in a variety of complicated ways. So it is, in fact, possible for some areas to get cooler, certainly on a temporary basis. Any given day, you know, any particular area on the Earth could be cooler than its average. But the Earth's climate is changing as a result of this heat-trapping pollution. And it's causing a wide range of effects, increasing the risk of severe drought like the one that the South West is continuing to suffer through now. Yeah. It's been linked directly to changes in the surface temperatures of the ocean that are related to global warming. In coastal areas, we'll see more flooding due to sea level rise. Water resources are threatened because we get more of our precipitation as rain instead of snow. And that natural snowpack, which currently serves as a very important natural reservoir for fresh water in large parts of the western U.S., gets diminished. Big threat, particularly in California, but also in other western states. To other effects directly affecting people's health, from severe heat waves, as well as from the spread of diseases that are carried by insects that will do better as the Earth warms up. So it's a pretty complicated phenomenon overall, but the basic principle is quite simple.
Me.
That is, we're adding these heat-trapping gases to the atmosphere, and the Earth is, in fact, warming up as a result.
Now, I'm looking at the summary for policymakers, the report of a working group, one of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and if folks are more curious about this, IPCC.ch on the Internet, you can get the full set. Is this a report here, the reports from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change? Is that a report that I should take seriously as being scientifically sound?
Yes, absolutely. That's the most authoritative review of global warming science that's been conducted. The IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, has been around for now more than a decade. It actually was set up under the first Bush administration, which at that time was saying, well, maybe we should research global warming more before we act. And at that time, that might have been a reasonable position back in 1990. So they set up this international panel. It has top scientists from around the world. They've reviewed all the published studies and put together these summaries, which are a synthesis of that research. So that's a very good place to look for people who really want to delve into the science in detail.
Okay, Dan, we're going to, in about 30 seconds here, have to bug out for some important commercial information. And will you be able to stick through till the top of the hour?
Sure.
Okay, great, because we're going to take off, do some commercial information here in about... coming up real quick, and then when we come back, is I'd like to dive into the what you're calling the McCain-Lieberman bill, if we could, and talk about some of the details of what's included or not included in there.
Great.
Okay, you're listening to Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. This is the Tom Hartman Show. We're talking to Dr. Daniel Lashoff.
When the gas light comes on in your car, do you tap it to try to turn it off? When you get a flat tire, do you drive around hoping it will reinflate? No. But right now, you could be ignoring a battery problem, which is why there's DieHard Express, only at Sears Auto Center. DieHard Express is more than a battery service. It's a complete checkup for your car's electrical system. Our experts will look for common problems, and if it's the battery, we'll install a new DieHard, America's most preferred battery.
DieHard Express. Sears. Good life, great price. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Federal college loan rates are now at a 37-year low, which means if you currently have a college loan, it's time to refinance and lock in these record low rates. Call 1-800-2-COLLEGE and we'll help you lock in a rate as low as 3.5%. These federal loans have no fees, costs, or credit checks. Call 1-800-2-COLLEGE to speak with a college loan professional who will help you lower your monthly payment and lock in these record low interest rates. Call 1-800-2-COLLEGE anytime, 24/7. It's the smartest call you could make.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
I have one question. Why? This is the question that pops into my head whenever I flip through any of those slick catalogs hawking the latest in high-dollar, high-tech gizmos for yuppies. Why is so much of our society's brain power and research money being frittered away on frivolous crap? You want crap? Try house slippers with headlights. Let's hope that this person isn't trying to invent anything else. Or this, a $250 rapid-fire toaster that can pop out 130 slices of toast per hour right in your kitchen. If this thing appeals to you, let me be the first to tell you, you've got a toast problem, Buster, and it's time to spend some money for professional help, not for a 130-slice-an-hour toaster. Some of this crap is not just crap, but absurdly expensive crap, pitched to the pompous and over-pampered rich, including the $90,000 Audi A8, which has 65,000 electrodes to scan your fingertips so you can open its doors by waving your hand in front of it. It also has a computer that automatically tunes the radio to the driver's favorite station and sculpts the front seat to the contours of the driver's bottom. If that's not enough for the lazy class, try the FMD 700 iTrek TV glasses that use prisms to alter the line of sight so you can lie flat in bed and watch TV or videos. No more need to strain yourself by sitting up. There's even a techno-consumer magazine, aptly named Stuff, that has unwittingly expressed the whining wasteland ethic behind this mindless production and consumption of crap. We've launched missions to Mars, says Stuff, so why can't we build a robot that can pour us a drink? This is Jim Hightower saying, well, Stuff, undoubtedly we can and probably will. But the question is, why? The exploration of Mars is at least about the reach of the human spirit. Not being willing to reach for your own drink is about human sloth. Shouldn't we focus our technological genius on the world's real needs?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Little boxes on the hillside.
We got little boxes all over. I'm in a room full of little boxes right now. I'm Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. On the phone with me is His Highness Dr. Daniel Lashoff, Senior Scientist at the Climate Center with the Natural Resources Defense Council, specializing in global warming, energy policy, and environmental science. And you want to join in the conversation, 1-800-TALK-YES. And for those of you who are letterly challenged, 1-800-825-5937. And welcome back, Daniel.
Thank you.
And okay, let's dive real quick. Let's because we got about a 5 minute spot here, so let's lay some groundwork on the McCain-Lieberman bill. What's that all about? What it's going to do, and what should we be doing about it?
Well, the problem again is the buildup of heat trapping pollution in the atmosphere that causes global warming, and the solution is putting in place sensible standards to hold companies accountable for reducing their release of these pollutants into the atmosphere, and that's what the McCain-Lieberman bill would do. It would establish national limits on global warming pollution from the largest sources in the country, power plants, large industry, transportation fuels, and other sources. So it sets up really a critical first step in dealing with the problem by establishing an overall national level of these emissions. It provides lots of flexibility for industry to comply in a very cost-effective way, and it's very, very affordable beginning of dealing with this problem.
I want to say first, and this isn't directed at you, I kind of resent the implication that I have to be sensitive to somebody else's ability to make large amounts of money in protecting my own health or the health and welfare of my child. That really, really rubs me raw. But when we talk about these chemical or these emissions of stuff, what kind of chemicals are we talking about nowadays? It used to be CO2 was the big one, but we've kind of called the Clear Skies Initiative. And that no law ever came into being based on that, did it?
No, but this is still out there, and you have to give President Bush a lot of credit for coming up with good names for things. The Clear Skies Initiative, unfortunately, would weaken the Clean Air Act and cause skies to be less clean.
Okay, we got to stop again. We'll be coming right back. I'm Rama Schneider in for Tom Hartman. We're talking with Dr. Daniel...
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Melting snow in the Arctic could ultimately cause temperatures to drop. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Most of the world's fresh water is locked away in snow around the North and South Poles. Global warming could release some of that water and feed it back into the oceans. Ann Giblin is a geochemist at the Marine Biological Laboratory in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. She says melting snow in the Arctic could change an important ocean cycle called thermohaline circulation. The cycle starts when a heavy load of salty water sinks in the Arctic Ocean.
The seawater has been concentrated by ice formation, and it's very, very cold. So this very cold, salty water is much denser, and it sinks to the bottom and forms what we call North Atlantic deep water. And that's really one of the main pumps of oceanic circulation worldwide.
Giblin says this cold, salty water flows south toward the equator, deep under the Atlantic Ocean.
That's matched by a surface flow that comes back. And after a very long, circuitous journey through the oceans, that water comes back in ways that we would think about as the Gulf Stream.
The Gulf Stream brings heat north from the tropics, helping to moderate temperatures in the northern hemisphere. But Giblin says a flood of fresh water from melting Arctic snow could interrupt this cycle.
Essentially, what we're doing is we're shutting down the heat engine, in this case, the Gulf Stream, to North America and Europe. And the projections are if we shut this thermohaline circulation off, North America would actually cool by about 2 degrees. So we'd have this bizarre effect that by warming the oceans, we actually cool parts of the northern hemisphere.
Giblin says the worst-case scenario would be a return to ice age conditions across Europe and North America. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for the big Mr. Tom Hartman, speaking to you on IE America Radio Network, on terrestrial radio stations from New Mexico to Alabama, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite covering North and Central America, from Alaska to the equator, and streaming audio on the Internet with listeners from Europe to Asia. This being the Tom Hartman Radio Program, and on the Internet, radiopower.org will get you listening, or you can go to ieamericaradio.com. That'll get you listening on the Sirius satellite system. That's channel 145. And 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. On the phone with us is Dr. Daniel Lashoff, a senior scientist at the Climate Center with the Natural Resources Defense Council, specializing in global warming, energy policy, and environmental science. And once again, thank you for coming on with us, Daniel.
Oh, you're welcome.
And spend a couple more minutes with us on this McCain-Lieberman bill, and exactly what kind of limits, or how are we talking about, like, trading pollution credits here, or are we talking about putting hard ceiling? And I guess to back up real quick, the McCain-Lieberman bill is one that we're referring to. There's currently a bill up for consideration in the Senate. It's not been considered in the House at all, correct?
That's correct. The McCain-Lieberman bill, which is Senate Bill 139, would establish limits on global warming pollution, dialing them back gradually to year 2000 levels starting in 2010 and 1990 levels starting in 2016. And those would be the overall limit. This bill is going to be considered in the Senate as an amendment to the energy bill, which is currently pending. That energy bill, by and large, is going to move us backwards rather than forward. And the McCain-Lieberman amendment is unfortunately not likely to pass at this time, but it's a start of a effort that's absolutely essential to get controls on these pollutants. But we'll see. That vote is probably going to happen tomorrow, Wednesday. So, and the version that is going to be offered as an amendment on the energy bill is sort of a scaled back version of their original bill. It only addresses that first phase, that is limiting emissions of global warming pollution to year 2000 levels starting in 2010. So that's the basic approach. It does allow trading of emission allowances for global warming pollutants among the sources, and that is a technique that, if done right, can be an appropriate way to minimize the cost of achieving the environmental goal, which is to get the emissions down. Certainly, trading is not an end in of itself, and there's many circumstances where there's a local direct health threat that where you wouldn't want to allow unlimited trading. But in this particular case, that is a mechanism that probably makes sense.
Now, is this bill locking us into foreign treaties? I keep looking, like, one of the big stinks that people raised about the Kyoto protocols, for instance, was that if we sign on to there, we've signed on to an international treaty that's going to impact our economy, take away our local control. But then again, you look at NAFTA, we signed on to a treaty. And by our Constitution, by the Constitution of the United States, when our federal government signs a treaty, that treaty has the effect of law. This McCain-Lieberman bill, is this putting us in signing us on to any international treaty, or is this purely a...
No, it's not. The McCain-Lieberman proposal is purely domestic legislation that's designed to get U.S. emissions of global warming pollution starting to move downward in the direction that they need to go. Now, I think much of the concerns that had been expressed by some about the Kyoto Protocol on global warming were overblown and just plain wrong. In the long run, we will need to cooperate with countries around the world to deal with the problem of global warming, because U.S., while the biggest polluter and certainly should take responsibility for its own emissions and for getting those down, should be working with other countries to address the problem. McCain-Lieberman proposal doesn't address that aspect of the issue, but it would start to put the U.S. in a position where it could credibly go to other countries and say, well, we've come to the table with some meaningful commitments. Let's talk about what you're doing. Now, many countries are in fact already implementing the Kyoto Protocol and are way ahead of the U.S. in terms of reducing their emissions and in developing and implementing the technology that helps them do that. So it's very important for the U.S. to get back on track and to be in a position where it can cooperate effectively with other countries.
Yeah, I wanted to ask that question, and maybe you could quantify or put a number on it for us. You know, it seems to me other people, especially in Europe, China's not really that concerned about it yet, I understand. But Japan and the many other nations did sign on to the Kyoto Protocols. And are we in danger of actually getting, of losing ground technologically to all these countries? Because while they make these advances that are obviously going to lead into new sciences, we're still going to be stuck on how better to burn a fossil fuel. Are we in danger of actually losing some technological gain here?
I think we are in danger of losing our edge. Europe and Japan are moving rapidly to implement mandatory limits on global warming pollution, and to do that, they're promoting a wide range of new technologies. Europe is by far the world's largest producer of wind turbines. It's one of the fastest growing renewable sources of energy. A lot of development going on in Denmark and the United Kingdom, both onshore and offshore. Danish wind turbine makers export around the world because they got a head start with an aggressive Danish program that gave them a home market. Japan really has the lead in hybrid gasoline electric vehicles like the Toyota Prius and Honda Civic Hybrid, which combine a gasoline engine, you fill it up at the fueling station like any other car, but it has an electric motor in it as well, and the combined system provides for much greater efficiency and cleaner, a cleaner system for getting us where we need to go. Japan has taken the lead. U.S. companies are struggling to catch up there. So I think that if we don't take the prudent steps that we need to take now to get a handle on this problem, we are definitely at risk of being left behind technologically.
Yeah, I mean, I look at things like I know they're getting into magnetic rail, which is not necessarily energy efficient. I don't know how it is or isn't, but I look at things like that and how magnetism is going to play in you know, the future effects of how we deliver electricity. And you go over to some of these other countries, and apparently they're getting into magnetic rail travel quite seriously. And in the U.S., we're still trying to figure out how to fit larger tractor trailers into our small towns. And it seems a little crazy.
Well, we have the technological know-how to fix this problem, and there's no reason why the United States shouldn't be the leader in putting it in place. But to drive the investment that's needed to make that technology get out of the laboratory and into the real world, we need to put in place standards that hold companies accountable for reducing their emissions. That's a step that so far the Bush administration has just been unwilling to even contemplate. McCain-Lieberman proposal would establish those standards, and you know, it's going to get a debate for the first time ever in the U.S. on the floor of the U.S. Senate.
Right. Okay. We're talking to Dr. Daniel Lashoff, a senior scientist at the Climate Center with the Natural Resources Defense Council. He specializes in global warming, energy policy, and environmental science. And I guess a couple interesting just odds and end questions that popped in my brain when I found out that you were going to be able to be on the show. One is, how much importance, I hear about these retreating snow caps, I believe particularly Kilimanjaro. Is that the one in Africa?
Well, Mount Kilimanjaro is sort of famous for the snows of Kilimanjaro, and that's one example of mountain glaciers that are retreating. But that same phenomenon, that may be the most prominent. Another one, of course, is a Glacier National Park in the United States is going to have to get a new name in 30 or 40 years if we don't stop the global warming problem, because there won't be any glaciers left. So we're seeing that phenomenon right around the world.
And they're seeing a lot more rock slides in the Alps. I saw an article on that there, I believe, is coming from melting glaciers there where the ice is no longer holding the rock together, right?
Well, that's right. It was a few years back when there was a discovery in the Alps of a human corpse that was perfectly preserved in a glacier. I believe it was like a 6,000-year-old man that was preserved, and that's because that glacier had been, you know, covering that that corpse for all those thousands of years, and now the glaciers retreated and revealed that, and was found in the Alps. But that, yes, the glaciers in the Alps are retreating as well as mountain glaciers in places like Peru in the tropics. So there's no question that it's happening on a global basis.
And then another tidbit that I'm kind of looking for confirmation, but I guess I get it from NASA fairly frequently. They say from satellite pictures of the growing seasons in the northern hemisphere that the growing seasons, they can see the green from the vegetation coming in earlier in the year and going away later in the year. That true too?
Yeah, that's correct. There's been about a 10-day shift in the start of the growing season that's linked to global warming, and we've also seen related to that a number of species. I think there's over 100 studies showing different species of butterfly or bird or plants where they're shifting their traditional range because the climate is changing. And of course,
they'd be moving north.
Moving north or moving towards the poles if they're in the southern hemisphere, or on mountains, moving upslope to higher elevations where temperatures tend to be lower. Now, of course, the problem is if you have an alpine meadow and it's already near the top of the mountain, as the climate shifts, there's simply, you know, less and less area and ultimately no place for many of these species to go. So you have a risk that some of these species could become extinct as a result of that process.
So it seems to me that it's no longer a question, or at least a rational question, if there is some sort of global warming going on, so, which would bring me to the question of how can you sit there and be so certain that humans, by our activity, is actually having a measurable influence on all of this?
Well, we know that human activity, particularly pollution from power plants and automobiles, is putting the carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, and we can measure the buildup of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere at a level that's higher than we've ever seen in human history. And we also can look at the temperature record, not only of the last 100 years, but going back to 1,000 years by using various what are called proxy methods, looking at tree rings and coral records and other records to reconstruct the Earth's temperature over that period. And we see that the last couple of decades are warmer than anything that we had seen in 1,000 years. And there, when you try to explain that temperature increase that's outside the realm of natural variability, it is virtually impossible to do that unless it's caused by the buildup of heat-trapping pollution in the atmosphere. There's other elements of what is called this fingerprinting analysis, the pattern of warming, both in the difference between the greater greater degree of warming at the poles than the equator, and also the pattern of it going up through the atmosphere, all points to pollution as the cause. And that's led scientific panels that have looked at this, both international panels as well as the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, to conclude that most of the warming we've seen over the last several decades is due to pollution.
Okay, we're talking to Dr. Daniel Lanshoff, Senior Scientist, Climate Center with the Natural Resources Defense Council. I guess, and looking around, I found variable dates, and here I'm referring to what they call the Little Ice Age somewhere, starting somewhere in the 13th or 14th century, running up to, what, the early or the middle of the 18th century. Am I correct in those dates?
Well, yes. It's actually not that well defined what you know, different people use the Little Ice Age to refer to a variety of different things, but roughly that period is pointed to. But that phenomenon, as far as we can tell, the most careful analysis suggests that was limited primarily to Northern Europe. It's not really a global phenomenon the way that the warming we're seeing now is.
Okay, I was kind of curious because it seemed to me like the ending of that, and maybe it still does have some bearing here because, of course, they started burning all that coal first in Europe before they did over here in North America. Is there any indication that the start of the industrialization in Europe might have stopped an actual ice age from getting underway, or might have, you know, helped bring temperatures up from the Little Ice Age? Do we have any indication of that happening?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, of course, the Earth's climate system is pretty complex, and you have natural fluctuations as well as pollution-driven changes. But the big effect of the buildup of heat-trapping pollution in the atmosphere, it starts to be noticeable sort of the beginning of the 20th century, but it really kicks in a major way over the last couple of decades as the buildup has gone forward. So the best understanding we have of the Little Ice Age is that probably was a natural fluctuation. It probably was limited to regional climate, not a global phenomenon.
So I can't blame it on Republicans.
I don't think that one you can blame on Republicans, no.
I was working on it. Hey, we're coming up on another commercial break, and then when we come back, we only have a few minutes to the top of the hour. So, Dr. Lanshoff, I want to thank you, and I want to let you go kind of coming up on this commercial break. And it's been really interesting. Is there any contact information or anything you want to say to folks on your way out? You got about 20 seconds.
For more information, they can go to our website, which is nrdc.org.
Right.
And appreciate being on the show.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Dan. You have a great day.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Show. And we'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Mom, see you later.
Jason? Who else is going to the concert with you?
Anna and Kyle.
So you'll be home...
at 11.
Good. Make sure to call me if anything comes up, okay?
You know I never forget.
I know you don't. Now, about that music.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
Well...
Let your kids be who they are, but know what they're doing. Talk, know, ask. Parents, the anti-drug. For more information, call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer's got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO. 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here to talk to you about InPhone, the advanced, enhanced, totally modern directory assistance available all across this great country of ours. Just dial 888-411-1111, and the super-friendly operator will help you access phone numbers or movie times, even driving directions to the theater. So call InPhone at 888-411-1111 and tell them Governor Jesse sent you. InPhone. How can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express lawsuit funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, Bartkop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't
he? Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show. Rama Schneider sitting in for the big boss, Tom, and 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And that's pretty interesting talk with Dr. Lashoff. And, of course, I you know, they keep introducing these bills. And this really ought to tick people off. I know it does me. I'm serious. I mean, why do we feel so funny about not asking, about telling big business that they can't cause harm to us or our children or our parents or our nephews, nieces, uncles, aunts, etc.? I mean, why do we feel funny about it? Why do we always feel defensive like we really, oh, well, gee, you know, I'm kind of sorry that this stuff is busy killing off the human race, but please, could we do something about this? It's like we're doing something wrong. Why do we keep having these bills introduced that never get passed? It's always, oh, it's too expensive. Well, hey, you know what? When I have dental problems, ladies and gentlemen, I don't sit there and not do anything about them because it's going to drive me broke in my dentist, who, God bless his heart, likes to drive big fancy cars. I go and I spend the money to take care of the teeth before I get an infection and it runs up my blood into my brain and kills me or something. I mean, you know, or down to the heart and gives me a heart attack. I don't know. What the heck? Here's a little bit of a news article from The Guardian, the British news rag. Global warming is now a weapon of mass destruction. This is by John Houghton from yesterday, July 28th. If political leaders have one duty above all others, it is to protect the security of their people. Thus it was, according to the Prime Minister, to protect Britain's security against Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction, that this country, meaning Britain, went to war with in Iraq. And yet our long-term security is threatened by a problem at least as dangerous as chemical, nuclear, or biological weapons, or indeed international terrorism. And this would be human-induced climate change. Now, this guy is a climate scientist. I'll skip a couple paragraphs of qualifying information. Like terrorism, this weapon knows no boundaries. It can strike anywhere and any farm. A heat wave in one place, a drought or a flood or a storm surge in another. Nor is this just a problem for the future. The 90s were probably the warmest decade in the last 1,000 years, and 98 the warmest. Global warming is already on us. Coming up to the top of the hour, we'll be back, cover the best of the rest of the news. Rama Schneider sitting in for the absent with official leave, Mr. Tom Hartman. We will be right back.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. American forces still looking for Saddam Hussein in Iraq have 3 more loyalists now of the former regime in custody, reportedly including one of Saddam Hussein's top bodyguards. They were captured in raids near his hometown of Tikrit. A spokesman for the military says those new detainees are now being questioned. Meanwhile, Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage claims American forces did almost capture Hussein yesterday. He told CNN U.S. soldiers were only hours behind the deposed leader in 3 different raids yesterday. The U.S.-led war on terrorism has left Afghanistan struggling with a climate of fear, according to a report by a respected human rights organization. Correspondent Alistair Wanklin says it's accusing the U.S. of backing warlords who terrorize civilians.
Across Afghanistan, warlords have hijacked society and are committing human rights abuses that leave Afghans with a climate of fear. The report by monitoring organization Human Rights Watch also accuses the new Afghan police and army of kidnappings, rape, and extortion. The report accuses the United States of building up warlords who then compete with the authority of the national government led by President Hamid Karzai. Elections are due in Afghanistan next year, but this report says if the situation fails to improve, Afghanistan won't get much democracy in that poll. Alistair Wanklin reporting.
Yesterday's visit to the Urban League annual convention by the president was followed by a parade of the so far 7 Democratic hopefuls. They all took advantage of using the receptive audience to pound away at the man they hoped to replace.
This morning, you got a lot of Bush, but not a lot of beef.
They set aside a whole election to make him the president. Lies.
We turned surpluses into deficits.
Greed.
Economy remains in the doldrums because of failed leadership.
Desire for empire.
He wants to make sure the barriers are up and the doors are closed.
Even the Costa Ricans have health insurance for all their people.
Senators John Edwards and Joe Lieberman, Congressmen Dick Gephardt and Dennis Kucinich, former Vermont Governor Howard Dean, Ambassador Carol Moseley Braun, and the Reverend Al Sharpton, all vying for the party's nod.
Hey, watch it.
Down in front. Hey, we made it.
Yeah.
4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies.
Wait.
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask around.
What?
Yeah. Excuse me. My friend here wants to know if the girl in the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet the Salonis. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over.
Excuse me, miss. There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Oh, yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Psst. Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What?
Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
The Bush administration is under fire again, this time for its so-called policy analysis market. The project will allow traders to bet on the possibility of terrorist events and is set to launch September 1st, while registration actually begins this Friday. The project from the Defense Department will be limited to the first 1,000 traders who will buy futures on events in the Middle East. For the second time this year now, a walkout by Democrats has prevented the Texas legislature from taking up the topic of congressional redistricting. Before Governor Rick Perry could call a second special session yesterday afternoon, 11 Democrats left for Albuquerque, New Mexico.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The rebel group that staged a bloody assault in Liberia's capital city has now declared a unilateral ceasefire. The head of the group called Liberians United for Reconciliation and Democracy says its forces will pull back to the city's port. The announcement was made today during peace talks in Ghana. That ceasefire could bring an end to bitter battles being waged in and around Monrovia in recent weeks. Liberian President Charles Taylor has refused to heed Washington's call to leave the country, saying he won't step down until peacekeepers arrive. Undersecretary of State John Bolton is in Seoul, South Korea, where he plans to meet with officials tomorrow to discuss the North Korean nuclear impasse. Bolton just wrapped up meetings with China's foreign minister, but he reported little progress on the North's willingness to dismantle its nuclear weapons programs. South Korean leaders have said negotiations between the North and China to restart those talks have slowed down. There has been speculation recently that the talks could happen as early as August or September. Bolton says it appears China has run out of diplomatic options.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ancient peddlers invented it. Avon ladies made it big. And the high-tech Japanese still do it. If you think door-to-door is passé, when I come back, I'll tell you the latest. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly Clark. Japan has a reputation for tradition. Even buying cars is done the old-fashioned way, by door-to-door salesmen. But motivated by the recession and consumer demand, dealers are reconstructing their strategy. Nissan plans to open the door to Japan's first large-scale auto mall. And Honda's added a window to the World Wide Web with the introduction of internet-based kiosk. Another tradition breaker? Japan is buying record numbers of American-made parts, opening another door of opportunity. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
one covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Well, no. I've got a clear vision of what America could become, but that's only if they anoint me king of everything. Beyond that, I'm as cloudy as the rest of you. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom Hartman, speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from New Mexico to Alabama, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite covering North and Central America from Alaska to the equator, and streaming audio on the Internet with listeners from Europe to Asia. This is the Tom Hartman radio program, and on the Internet, radiopower.org or ieamericaradio.com. Sirius Channel 145, and if you're tooling around in your Ford, Chrysler, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Mazda, Land Rover, Dodge, Jeep, Mini, Volkswagen, Audi, Nissan, Infiniti, Jaguar, or in your big old Freightliner or Sterling truck, and you're listening to me without a Sirius satellite system, I don't know how you're doing it. Actually, we're carried on some local radio stations, too. That's true, yeah. I guess a growing number from what Tom tells me, so that's pretty decent. I just want to, going back to the last hour, we were talking to Dr. Lashoff about the global warming, and in particular, he wanted to put a plug in for the McCain-Lieberman bill that's it's an amendment to a bill actually being taken up in the Senate, and is rather than some sort of a clear skies initiative that will miraculously clear the skies by letting industry voluntarily comply with environmental rules. We know how well. Come on, folks. I want to get on that for a minute here, because you have a simple equation here. By law, a corporation is responsible to its corporate holders, those stockholders. By law, they have a fiduciary responsibility to their stockholders. They have to do what makes the most cash profit, not what's going to make the most social benefit. We could call that social profit. Not what's going to make the most health profit. No. They're responsible for providing and taking care of the cash, the money, the fiduciary responsibilities. So even by law, if we didn't tell them that they had to do less of polluting with pollutant A, by law, they wouldn't even be able to worry about it unless they found a way to make money off of it. So if it was less expensive on a corporation to spew out tons of nitrous oxide and CO2 and whatever else, they're going to do it, and it doesn't matter about the expense on the rest of us as a society to take care of the mess. So, and they're required to do this by law. So, you know, yeah, maybe part of it's in the answer in changing corporate law and saying that, no, you not only are responsible to your stockholders, you're responsible to the United States of America, you're responsible to the planet Earth also. You know, maybe we need to do something like that. But I don't know. One of the things that President Bush had come out with, of course, was his fuel cells thing, dealing with hydrogen. And I guess, first off, to kind of mention the fact that, you know, hydrogen, most of your commercial hydrogen is taken from fossil fuels anyway. Just look up the term hydrocarbons, and you'll see where the hydrogen comes from. That's the hydro part of it. But here's a little bit from the New Scan in the Scientific American. It's a great magazine if you're interested in that sort of stuff. This is the August issue. Not so friendly hydrogen. Burning oil and gas can lead to smog, acid rain, and global warming, whereas burned hydrogen generates only water. But hydrogen engines may not prove as environmentally friendly as thought. Current systems are leaky, with 10% or more of hydrogen escaping uncombusted. California Institute of Technology researchers calculate that if hydrogen fuel cells replaced all oil and gas burning technologies, people would release 4 to 8 times more hydrogen into the atmosphere than they do now. The hydrogen would oxidize and form water, H2O, clouding the overlying stratosphere, and the resulting cooling would encourage ozone-destroying chemical reactions. Oh, I guess so. You know, but we got to think about these things. The investigators say that preventing hydrogen seepage could offset this damage as could decreases in ozone eating chlorofluorocarbons over time and better than expected hydrogen absorption by soil. And this report they're referring to appears in the June 13th Science magazine. It's all, you're not going to find an easy solution. I'll take that back. There is a simple, stupid solution to polluting due to energy use, and that's to require less energy. That is the simplest answer. And a lot of those technologies are coming along where things that require, just look at your personal computers. Most of us have a computer of one sort or another, or even a lot of cars nowadays are still more fuel efficient despite the best efforts of some folks in our world. You look around stoves, refrigerators, everywhere you go, you'll see much greater efficiency. But we're not using less power because, you know, if you have a stove that uses half the electricity your old one did, you probably ended up getting something else that uses up the electricity that you saved on the stove. So the easiest solution for all of us is just to use a little bit less electricity, of course. No, don't turn off your radio, idiot. Oh, that'd be kind of terrible. So it's not an easy solution. It's not an easy question even to explore when you talk about energy production and how it relates to global warming. It's symbiotic would be the word. I mean, it's a whole series. It's a sequence of one thing relying on another, relying on another, relying on another. And who knows, you know, you really have put some thought into thinking about the changes that come about from altering one little part of the whole chain of events. I mean, for instance, like this hydrogen. Hydrogen seems pretty cool, you know. Yeah, put the hydrogen in with the fuel cell, and basically what happens is it runs through a membrane. It's a fair, well, I call it, it's a mechanical process in the sense that you're dealing with physical entities, and the membrane separates out the electrons from the hydrogen atom and sends the nucleus one way, the electrons go another, and then they rejoin and they form together with the oxygen and form water and fall out. And interestingly enough, by the way, my mother brought up a question with hydrogen cars. If their output is water, how much water, and I don't know this, how much water would a hydrogen cell powerful enough to power a car put out? And can you imagine Los Angeles with the super major highways, these 4, 5, 6 lane, one direction highways, all these cars going back and forth dumping water on the road? Would that even cause problems? Would it even be doable in a practical manner? I don't know. But this is why people need to think about these things from time to time and talk about them. How about this? Trading on the future of terror. I know you've heard it on the news for the last day and a half or so. That old market system would help the Pentagon predict turmoil. That's where they want to set up this computer program and have it accessible to many different people. I guess they're looking at restricting it to people from certain disciplines. And it would actually be, in essence, a gambling. I don't know how high level or low level. My suspicion is if they started off at low-level gambling where you could win $20 on a good future bet, before long somebody's going to say, gee, you know, this is such a wonderful idea. We ought to be offering $20 million on these future bets. And then if somebody places a bet that country's leader Joe Blow is going to die, poor Joe Blow had better go into hiding, because imagine if we start booking on a serious level, future events. I mean, talk about the measurement affecting the outcome. But I'm not all, you know, I'm very ambivalent on this. On one side, as I see a lot of issues, bad issues. On another side, though, of a program like this, a program that relies on distributed input. In other words, you or I or somebody else could log in, and maybe, you know, somebody who's got some some, who knows what expertise. I mean, what do we do? Do we have these economists log on, these economists who don't know, can't predict past lunchtime the next day and have no idea where all the money's going? I mean, it might be kind of crazy, so maybe just open it up to everybody and give us all a chance to brainstorm on the same computer with possible outcomes. I could see that as being good. But, well, and the government wouldn't like this in the long run, because what it would mean is you and I would start having access to ideas and information that, you know, things like what were those 20-some-odd blank pages in the September 11, 2001 Congressional Inquiry Report that George Bush and company just are dying to not let us know about. Apparently, they don't even want to let this, even though the Saudis asked to have it released, they don't want to release it, so... You know, but the government probably wouldn't like that too much. But there's a lot of good benefits if you have all sorts of people putting input into a particular thing, because we are dealing, just like when I was talking about this hydrogen and Scientific America was taking us through these steps where, you know, hydrogen fuel cells may not be good because of, you know, this domino, this cascading series of effects. When you're trying to get some idea as to what's happening in the future, you're dealing, you know, normally as a kid you set up the dominoes in a line and you'd push them and they'd fall down in a neat line, or you'd make a neat little pattern, but you always had it done in a predictable way. Well, when you're trying to look at future events, even things that are going to happen a week or a month, and it's much less when you're looking 10 or 20 years down the road, you're dealing with dominoes that could fall in any one of, you know, who knows how many directions with a push. And I would think that maybe some sort of voting method where people can log in and kind of vote on the issue. Well, let's see. Will from Georgia, what do you have to say about this?
Hey, hi, Tom.
Well, this is Rama, but that's okay. I'm going to let you stay on the air despite the fact you called me Tom.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were just talking about this lottery, the betting game that the brainstormers in the Pentagon are putting together.
Yeah? Okay. Hey, Will. We're going to come up on a break here in about 30 seconds. Would you hold on through the break, and then we'll come back and talk about it?
Absolutely.
All right, that'd be great, and thank you for calling. All right, this is Rama Schneider sitting in for Mr. Tom Hartman, absent with official leave. Of course, he didn't really need it from me. We have that don't ask, don't tell policy around here. I don't ask him where he's going. He doesn't tell me. It's none of my business. All right. Stay tuned. We're going to drop for some important commercial information. We'll be right back.
It's almost Mother's Day, and you know what that means. It's time to pick up the phone. A new Verizon wireless phone for mom from Radio Shack. Get her the Samsung A310 for just $24.99 after Samsung mail-in rebate. That's a $75 savings. Radio Shack's experts will even help you choose the service plan and accessories mom will love. So pick up the phone and make mom's day at Radio Shack. Offer good through 5/25 with 2-year activation. $175 early termination fee. Supply phone is $249.99 without activation. See stores for details.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Show. Rama Schneider sitting in for the absent Mr. Hartman, but he's absent with official leave. We have Will from Georgia on the line. Let's get right to Will. Good afternoon, and what do you got to say?
Just so great hearing some straight talk on this subject of the betting parlor that the Pentagon's setting up on terrorist acts.
Right.
I mean, their job is to defend the soil, to defend the Constitution and the people of the United States.
Yeah.
I hear what they're doing is they're saying, we don't want to defend you, and we're going to see if we can get something going on the side. Well, we already know all the futures contracts, the puts that were bought on American and United Airlines. We know about that in the futures market in Chicago. And
right.
We know it was placed by a bank that the CIA has big connections with. And there's something like some $8 or $15 million sitting in an account somewhere, and nobody seems to want to go and see who put the money down on the bet.
Understandably so.
Right, and even though that information is available, that information is achievable, but nobody seems to be tracking it down assiduously. And here we look at the Booker Elementary video to see incontrovertibly that Bush was in on it. I mean, we know that he either treasonously or through criminal negligence, at least, at the very least, that's giving him the greatest benefit of the doubt, which he doesn't deserve, was complicit in not intervening in the hijacking that led to this enormous new Pearl Harbor, as he said in his diary that night. I mean, it's so clear that this is a Northwoods project to get the ends met of he and his father's coterie of murderers that killed John Kennedy to send us to Vietnam. I mean, we know that. It was adjudicated. So, I mean, why do we mince words with these kind of middle-of-the-road pseudo-Democrats that don't want to offend anybody by telling the truth? and keep playing this game of a false elite manipulation of both sides of the political aisle. I mean, clearly, Jefferson was right that we do have interests that have taken over the government in order to oppress the people and are sending us off to a false war and shedding innocent blood and American GIs' lives to serve their own fascistic self-interest in the oil oligopoly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would say I agree 100% with you, but I think also it's important to realize if you look back in the history of our country, our first foreign intervention as the United States of America took place in what was it, 1801, 1803, something like that, when we went after the Barbary pirates off the north coast of Africa because they were interfering not you know, with commercial shipping. So it's not something our government hasn't always done. And which I'm not saying excuses them, but I'm just saying it is part of our history. And I think people accept part of that is that we like to say, well, you know, we go to the defense of nations. I guess you could look at Central America in the early part of the 20th century, and we didn't go to defend any nation there. We didn't go to defend the Philippines. We didn't go to defend Cuba and, you know, around 1900 and, we sure didn't go to defend the American Indians from the East Coast to the West. So I don't know if we're stepping so far out of boundaries, and maybe that's why people accept it, because it is our part of our history. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that when the Barbary pirates took captive, I guess it was the USS Philadelphia or something. I forget the name of the ship.
Yeah.
Presumably, it was not encroaching on the sovereignty of Tunisia or Morocco, whatever North African country it was where it took place. And presumably Jefferson was not lying to us when he said that we needed to go over there and get this ship back. I think the dividing line is when it becomes a lie from the executive to the people, like Nixon lying about the bombing in Cambodia and breaking into the Watergate. I mean, when you have a servant, in this case, an appointed servant.
Okay, you better wrap up real quick.
Well, when he lied to us and his dad was with the CIA when they killed John Kennedy, his grandfather was Hitler's banker. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to connect the dots on what's going on.
Okay, thank you, Will. I appreciate your call. We're going to stop, take a break for some commercial information. Then we got Melissa from Alabama. Rama Schneider in for Tom Hartman. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. After 6 weeks on the picket line, striking employees of Chicago's Congress Hotel say they're struggling on behalf of all the city's hotel workers. Members of Hotel Employees and Restaurant Employees Local 1 walked out June 15th after Congress managers refused to accept a citywide pattern bargaining agreement, instead demanding deep cuts from workers. Housekeeper Ventura Mota has worked at the hotel for 8 years.
They cut my wages down 7%. They cut my pension, my insurance too, but I have 2 children. My children, they don't have insurance.
Both the union and Chicago's hotel operators are keeping a close eye on the strike, according to 25-year Congress hotel veteran Henry Miller.
If we lose this bell, every other hotel going to come back within 3 years and say, well, the Congress Hotel beat the union out. We can do the same thing. We're going to cut wages. We're going to take the health benefit. We can't lose it.
Baltimore's police and firefighters are set to win greater power at the bargaining table. The Baltimore City Council Council will soon decide on whether to grant unions of emergency workers the right to binding arbitration whenever contract talks with the city reach an impasse. All decisions of the arbitrator would be final. While some city officials worry the plan might cost too much, Baltimore voters like the idea. A referendum on the subject last November showed 83% of city residents approve of the measure.
Zimbabwe officially ran out of cash this weekend when government workers who had been promised a pay raise to start on this payday went to draw their month-end salaries from banks and were refused en masse. The frustrated workers took things out on the banks, bringing riot police out in several cities to keep serious damage from happening. Inflation in Zimbabwe is at a staggering 347% and climbing. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman and speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network and on terrestrial radio stations from New Mexico to Alabama, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on a Sirius satellite covering North and Central America from Alaska to the equator. Streaming audio on the Internet with listeners from Europe to Asia. This is the Tom Hartman Program, and if you're on the Internet, you're probably at radiopower.org or ieamericaradio.com. Could be other places. Sirius Channel 145, and we got phone numbers here. We got phones. 1-800-TALK-YES. That would be 1-800-825-5937. And before we head back to the phones, just a little bit from an L.A. Times story here dealing with this, the market system helping the Pentagon predict turmoil. It would be overseen by DARPA's Information Awareness Office, whose director is retired Admiral John M. Poindexter. Ah! The former Iran-Contra figure, according to DARPA's website. Poindexter and other senior DARPA officials could not be reached for comment, but in a statement, DARPA said it is exploring new ways to help analysts predict and thereby prevent terrorist attacks through the use of futures market mechanisms. Research indicates that markets are extremely efficient, effective, and timely aggregators of dispersed and even hidden information. Futures markets have proven themselves to be good at predicting such things as elections results. They are often better than expert opinions, it added. DARPA has undertaken this research as part of its effort to investigate the broadest possible set of new ways to prevent terrorist attacks and will continue to reevaluate the technical promise of the program before committing additional funds beyond fiscal year 2003. I guess they've so far spent $500,000. They're looking for $8 million more or so. And I guess I should also point out, in all fairness to DARPA, I don't know, all fairness to Poindexter, crook, but in all fairness to DARPA, you know, that is where our Internet originated from. So, for whatever good that is. Anyway, on the phone with us now is Melissa from Alabama. Hello, Melissa.
Hi, I was feeling a little bit sad for you because you didn't seem to be getting any calls.
Well, thank you for calling.
I've been a DJ before, and I know I like to get calls. I'm just a poor house painter from Alabama, and it's been a really bad paint season. In fact, it's been really bad since 9-1-1.
Really?
I'm a little bit nervous calling in because the kind of information dealt with on your program is a little bit scary.
Which part?
All of it. when it comes to who's running the show here. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but you know, I got Melissa, one of the things, knowledge is power in the sense that if you know what you're dealing with, you know how to correct it if it's wrong or encourage it if it's good.
I don't know, so. But I...
What bothers you the most? Okay, with this, were you worried about, for instance, this trading on the futures of terror type thing?
Oh, I'm worried about who might be listening to me right now and who might come knock my door in the middle of the night, but I try not to think about it too much.
Well, I don't want to upset you, Melissa, but I mean, personally, I'm hoping there's like millions of people listening to you right now because that means there's millions listening to me. You know, I remember reading it wasn't his autobiography. It was a biography of Ben Franklin. I can't remember the name of the author. It was the First American, I think, was the name of the book, if I remember correctly. And one of the things the gentleman pointed out about Franklin was he had apparently told somebody in France that they had said, well, you know, how do you keep yourself out of trouble publicly? Because, of course, Franklin being on the side of the revolution and being owning all these printing presses and papers as time went on, he was always in the limelight. And he said he lives his life so that if somebody discovers something about him, it really isn't going to be that bad. In other words, he doesn't go around doing things that he's got to keep behind closed doors. He has things he would rather keep personal. But if somebody finds out something, the worst that happens is he gets embarrassed.
How did you get the name Rama?
Okay, we can deviate for a minute here, and then we have another caller on the line. But Rama is Asian Indian. I am not. There's Rama comes from... there's a couple different places in Asian Indian literature where Rama can come from. One is there was a Prince Rama who... I forget how it was he was able to get across to an island and defeat a monkey king and save his princess. And Rama is also the name of one of the incarnations of Vishnu.
Do you do yoga?
No, I do some Taekwondo.
Okay.
That hurts enough, thank you.
Okay, well, nice talking to you.
Okay, thank you, Melissa. Bye-bye now. And now we have, I don't know, was it Kit from Santa Fe? Hello, Kit.
It's Kip, K-I-P, Kip, Santa Fe. I call into your various other cohorts there from time to time.
Okay.
I was very distressed this morning when I read in our paper, the Santa Fe New Mexican, on page A6, if anybody else wants to check it out, the story on the Rumsfeld futures market at the Pentagon dealing in terrorism.
Right.
And I was so outraged that I called our local contact office here, the senator's office for Jeff Bingaman, and asked him to let me know what he can do to stop this, what it's all about, and how it got as far along as it did. Apparently, in the paper article, in the newspaper article, it said that Senator Dorgan of I think North Dakota and Wyden of Illinois have made some objection, and as a result of that objection, the Rumsfeld terrorist website was taken down. So there is some action up there, but we need to keep finding out what this is all about. I'm reminded of a much better way to predict this kind of stuff. They say in California, when there's an earthquake, people rush to get earthquake insurance. And as you study the applications for earthquake insurance, you find out that over the months and the years, it decreases. And when it gets down to a certain level, a new earthquake is bound to occur, and then people rush out and get more earthquake insurance. Maybe we could do something like that with terrorist insurance and watch the trends of premium payments and applications for terrorist insurance the same way.
All right. Well, that's a thought. Let me back you up, though, a bit. Now, I'm sorry. You said K-I-P as in Papa?
Papa.
Okay, Kip. Papa, I'm sorry. Papa, Kip. I was having a hard time catching the last letter there. But, Kip, what is it about this that bothers you so much?
Well, how would I feel at night if I had money on the fact that Yasser Arafat would be assassinated by the December 5th option date or something like that, you know?
Right.
Is that something I really want on my conscience? A, Is somebody an investor? The article talked about investors making money off of this. Plus, yeah. The investors are good and analysts of foreign policy, and hence the Pentagon will get all sorts of input on when the next terrorist act is going to occur, how it will occur, and what it will consist of. And
to me
that this seems as somebody earlier this morning said, it is totally grotesque.
Now, I admit, I agree with you, it's grotesque, but this is where I get the ambivalence myself from. I've looked at this and I've tried to bounce. I see a lot of bad, but I also see, you know, some positive here myself. That's my own personal opinion.
Well, I'd be glad to hear that.
Well, I look at it this way. There's already people sitting down placing bets on what's going to happen. Now, some of them are professional. We call them intelligence analysts.
Oh,
they
sure.
sit down.
They make their money that way.
Right. They make their money. But there's also, I guarantee you, somewhere there's a bookie taking bets on, will Sharon take down that fence that runs through Palestine? Will he kill Arafat? Or what day and what time will Saddam Hussein get caught?
There are probably plenty of office pools around the country in the more weirdo segments of our society that are betting on the same thing. I can agree that it's happening, but do
right.
we want? It's bad enough with state-run lotteries that make leeches out of the government off of poor people. Do we want the Pentagon, for God's sake, to make bloodsuckers out of the rest of us by betting on when somebody's going to go down to an assassin's bullet? It seems to me this is the totally wrong way for our country to go. Our government should be totally excommunicated, i.e. Removed from office, impeached. And I'd like to take some bets on that, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
Well, look, hold your head up, because I want to thank you for your call. I'm going to let you go at this point. But, you know, I keep hearing that so many people, and I think I mentioned this last time I was on the air, too, when I was telling you how picture perfect I was, that like 66% of the people felt that Bush was going to get reelected, even though around 50% were going to vote for him. When you see numbers like that, that tells you that, you know, you can start looking at the possibility of us doing our own homegrown regime change, which in the United States we can oftentimes, you know, I mean, if it's not involving a Democrat and the Oval Office and tawdry affairs, I should say, that wasn't an untawdry one, you know.
Well,
if it
would be real great to talk to you about regime change, because I feel that the American people are led by our media, the corporate media, who are not informing us of this. I was really surprised and pleased to see this in our local paper, but our local paper, although it was an Associated Press article, our local paper does a wonderful job of picking out some of the alternative stories that come down through programs like yours, Amy Goodman, et cetera, and the website.
That's great. Yeah.
But regime change, I think, has got to start with a heads-up, brave, courageous, active Congress looking at some of these outrages and lies and manipulations of the public for personal good and get with the program, for God's sake, because otherwise we, as the American people, are going to say, well, if Congress isn't bothering about it, why should I bother about it? They're taking care of things. It must be okay. And I don't think that's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, I certainly appreciate your call, Kip.
And thanks for your time.
You betcha. You have a great day. And, he's that last point, too. He's right. Look, we all have busy lives. And oftentimes we just don't have the time to look into this and to try to do things about this. And that's why we elect these people supposedly to go down to Washington to look out after us. Let me see. Under the Pentagon proposal for this, they would be asked to gamble on questions such as, will terrorists attack Israel with bioweapons in the next year? And now there's a good point. I mean, when you have people betting on something, and if they're putting up, if there's a large enough reward for winning the bet, then are you going to be doing things to encourage a particular outcome as opposed to trying to take a scientific view of what possibly may happen in the future. That's why, I guess that's why I think a system like this would work if, A, it was open to the public, everybody to participate, and the idea wasn't so much that you were going to place futures that you had. See, they want to do it, where's the wording here? They want to do it, and I can't find the paragraph, but they want people to feel the pain of loss if they make a bad bet. They want the people to feel some profit, some gain, if they make a good bet. Once again, though, we get back to this whole thing, and you know, this bit like with the corporations, this fiduciary thing. The reward has up for being correct has got to be financial. And this is all these people seem to understand. If it doesn't involve a dollar sign, there's no reward. You don't do something just because it was an interesting intellectual exercise. I mean, this is why I spend my life being broke, because I do these things for intellectual exercises. Or I help my neighbor because it makes me feel good. I get involved in studying different types of programming or history or politics or even putzing around with a little bit of astronomy and physics because it's a purely intellectual exercise. So the reward, you know, the reward system should be something that's at the personal level for being correct, not like you can make a whole bunch of money and gain power by being correct, that you'll be able to say. And I think if you took a system like what they want to do here, this future trading, get rid of the future trading part, and put a program and say, look, this is the situation in the world today. And just list out a set of items. It could be however long you want it to be. And here are some options that we think may happen from each situation. Now, you can add or subtract your own. And then everybody in the country can kind of dump in there and start picking options that they think are likely, putting in tidbits of information, add options that maybe somebody else didn't think about. You would end up with this incredibly convoluted response out of this computer system, because you're talking about, you know, millions of people would probably be jumping in to put their 2 cents in. But you would also end up with some really interesting ideas, because, you know, to go back to this idea of the dominoes, you know, when you're trying to get some handle on future, on trends and what they mean for the future, you're not pushing one domino that's going to cleanly push another and another and another and have this nice straight line of dominoes fall down. You just have this mass of dominoes just out there, kind of random spacing, and you push one and you don't know which other domino it's going to hit and which way it's going to go. I mean, there are some indications one thing's more likely than another, but I don't, you know, I see the bad part of it. I think the sorry thing is that they insist on saying, gee, you know, if you want to help out your country and you want to do something good for humankind, you're only going to do it if it's for money. And I don't think that's true. I think that's actually very crass of them to insist on doing it this basis. But, you know, I mean, look who's the head name there, Poindexter. I mean, my God, this was a man who was willing to work with Reagan and Daddy Bush to sell Hawk missiles to Iran in order to get cash to give it to the terrorist Contra groups down in Nicaragua. So, you know, I mean, this guy obviously only thinks in cash. Everything's got to be in cash. And I think that's where they kind of fall down a little bit on the job. But it's an interesting, it's something that's worthwhile people look at and should be aware of. And, you know, I'll tell you what, with computer power, computational power increasing, it's this sort of thing we're going to see more and more of. Total information awareness, all of this stuff. Rahm Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Niagara Falls, Raymond. Nature's wonderful. But imagine if nature stopped working.
like when you're constipated.
Maureen.
Good thing you use Philips Milk of Magnesia. It helps your body work more like nature intended. Philips has no harsh stimulants like many overnight laxatives, so you get comfortable, cramp-free relief of constipation. Right, Raymond?
Yes, Maureen.
So you feel like your natural self.
Naturally.
Philips, comfortable, cramp-free relief. Also try great-tasting French vanilla.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express lawsuit funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
Show.
Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up?
I just find it that you guys are really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk troop lives to make money. You must think that these guys are really evil people.
If you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, what they were saying basically, if we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East.
Is this what you say they said, or is this what they had stated in a policy and in a
This
in
is
a
what they
contract?
Said.
Why is this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
When you were young and your heart was...
All right, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom. And a couple minutes here. I just wanted the three different articles. These are, I took all off the, I guess, from Reuters. This one from Sunday, July 27th, titled Monsanto Quietly Readies Gene-Modified Wheat. And just to read a little bit, from the dusty country road, the secluded wheat field in this rural hamlet appears to be like any other, with slender stalks and ripening heads rustling in the breeze. But the grain growing here belongs to Monsanto Company and is the key to the company's plan to bring the world its first genetically modified wheat. While soybeans and a few other crops have been genetically modified for years, wheat would be the first true food grain to go from test tube to harvest. Okay, so we have Monsanto introducing the GMO-modified wheat. Another story, this from Friday, July 25th. U.S. clears new use for Lilly growth hormone, and I'm sure you heard about this on TV. U.S. regulators on Friday approved use of a growth hormone for boosting the height of children who are short but in good health. Eli Lilly's hormone, Humatrope, has been sold in the United States since 1987 and used for treating children with growth hormone deficiencies. With the new approval, Indianapolis-based Lilly will be able to market Humatrope for short children with normal levels of the hormone and no evidence of a disease that stunts growth. The FDA said it approved the treatment for the shortest 1.2% of the children. For 10-year-old boys and girls, that would correspond to a height of less than 4 feet 1 inch. Their expected adult height without treatment would be less than 5 feet 3 inches for men and 4 feet 11 inches for women. So you have the modified wheat, and you have them using the growth hormone even to not even to treat a disease. And then this one from Saturday, July 26th. First test tube baby celebrates 25th birthday. This is from Born England. In a scene once unimaginable, 1,000 test tube children met on Saturday to celebrate the 25th birthday of the world's first IVF baby and the anniversary of the revolutionary fertility treatment. Since Louise Brown was born on July 25, 1978, more than a million babies worldwide have been conceived through in vitro fertilization. The celebrations at the Bourne Hall Clinic, where Edwards and his partner Patrick Steptoe perfected the technique, were a far cry from the early days of IVF, and removing eggs from women and fertilizing them with sperm and test tubes was considered a radical procedure in the 1970s. So who knows where technology will take us. I had fun, and you folks all have a very good day. Rahmschneider sitting in for Tom Hartman, and I guess I'm going to shut everything on down at this end. Hop on my motorcycle and head for a ride in the sun. Bye-bye, all.
From the war against disorder, from sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights.